Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Sometimes I think it drags on and feels like forever, which it is kind of, but then other times it flies by in a blur and it's impossible that we're through week 8 already, but we are wrapping up with the Pittsburgh Steelers defeating the Giants on Monday Night Football. We'll get to that game momentarily, but that puts the Steelers at 6-2 and a game clear in the AFC North. So they're sitting on top of their division. They have the same record as the Bills and the Texans, also division leaders in the AFC, only trailing the Chiefs, who are the last unbeaten and already have their bye. So they're sitting at 7-0. Steelers get a boost from their defense, as always, their special teams. Yeah, that's happening a lot recently as well. And now Russell Wilson, who did not look rusty, though the offense still leaves a lot of points on the field. So if they can close that gap, and they're heading into their bye week now, but if they can close that gap and start to produce more in the red zone, touchdowns, not field goals, not get their TDs dragged off the board because of mistakes or penalties or issues, well, then this Steelers team is a lot closer to complete than what we've seen in a few years. Does that mean fans, some fans start believing in Mike Tomlin and stop clamoring for his job? Well, I'm not sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are asking you a critical fan question. And I know you all have a perspective, whether you have champions galore in your city or whether you are part of a fan base that has not won and really hasn't been relevant recently. And then every other stop along the spectrum for fans. In light of what's happening with the Yankees, and we'll talk about it, would you want to play in the Super Bowl or a championship series, even if your team gets demolished? Now, you don't know ahead of time. Okay, so that's no fun. We don't have a crystal ball. But if you're the Yankees or the Yankees fan base after this World Series, whether they get swept, maybe they force a game 7, that might speak to their character a little more, although the Dodgers are a major piece of this, of course. But Yankees fans, I'm wondering how they're feeling. You got there for the first time in 15 years, but you lost, or you're about to lose. And the way that you're losing, at least to this point, with only 7 runs in the series, with a walk-off grand slam that, according to Yankees radio and Yankees insiders, is still creating a hangover. They feel like they got punched in the face and, according to Aaron Boone, haven't fully recovered from that game 1 loss. Well, they better recover before it's too late. Would you rather be in the arena, even if it means you get stomped, curb stomped? I don't remember the last time I said curb stomped. Is that still politically correct? I'm not sure if it is or not. I'm not cool, though, so I probably shouldn't be using phrases from cool people. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning. It's a Tuesday. Glad to be with you. We've also got your poll up on this Touchdown Tuesday. You can pick the TD of the week. Now, still ahead, we've got some QB news because we had injuries on Sunday. Matt LaFleur talking about Jordan Love. He's dealing with a groin. Gerard Mayo was actually surprised by Drake May being or needing concussion protocol heading to the tent. Shane Steichen is not confirming, I can neither confirm nor deny, that Anthony Richardson is still the starting quarterback or is the best dude for the job. So we'll get to some football straight ahead. I'd also love to take more of your calls. We're getting a lot of your responses online at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, or on our Facebook page. Is it better to have loved and lost, and I mean lost in a painful, brokenhearted type of way, than never to have loved at all? But let's talk World Series first, since that's the catalyst for this particular question on the show. It was a really cool run-up in the Bronx to their first home World Series game in 15 years. I got to say I enjoyed it, though it seemed like the pregame ceremonies went on forever and ever and ever and ever. The national anthem was a good 20 minutes before first pitch, and they kept trotting out different people like Derek Jeter, who threw out the ceremonial first pitch. So you could tell they were all dressed up and ready to go. There was a great buzz in the stadium. And then they get to the top of the first, and Shohei Ohtani is in the lineup. Now, it was clear that he was doing all he could during warmups. Even when he was introduced, his arm was still in a sling. And when he didn't have to be using his left arm, he was holding it close to his body, or he was pulling on his uniform and the shirt underneath his uniform, kind of pulling them down, holding them tighter so that there was less movement with his dislocated shoulder. So all of those things make you believe that there's still some lingering pain a couple days later after he had the dislocated shoulder. But he was there leading off, and I don't know that he got even one pitch to hit, which I felt like was a dubious start for the Yankees and their pitching staff, because Clark Schmidt never really gave him anything to hit. Not much. I'd think you'd want him to make contact. It was a colder night in the Bronx. The wind chills had the temps down in the 40s. People were all bundled up. Wouldn't you want him to try to hit something so that he can feel that pain shoot up his arm? I know I sound like a masochist, but if you're the Yankees, don't you want that? But that's not what happened. Walked him. He went straight to first base. Then a couple batters later, it's the dude. It's Freddie Freeman.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, five straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
It's just more important to get some runs for Walker so he can settle down and do what he did tonight. He was amazing. Our bullpen's been amazing, but Walker's been pitching big games for a long time, pretty much his whole career, even in college when he was with Vanderbilt. So these lights aren't too big for him, and he came out and did a great job for us.
Oh, we'll get to Walker Buehler coming up. He and a half dozen relievers take the mound at different points for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But yes, Freddie Freeman coming up with a home run that silenced the crowd in the Bronx. And this was critical because they were still going through their roll call where they yell at each of the fielders that's out there on the dirt or in the grass for their team. They go through every single guy and they continue to yell his name, chant his name until that player acknowledges. And so sometimes it could go on for a while, especially when these guys are locked in. So the Yankees fans are still blaring their roll call. Ohtani comes up. He does get booed. And then two batters later, Freddie Freeman really puts the kibosh on that excitement in the opening frame. And yeah, it continued with the three guys. Well, Shohei Ohtani got on base twice, actually, with a walk and a hit by pitch. But really, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman right now, they're doing a lot of the damage with their bats.
Ninth pitch from Schmidt. Betts swings. It's a little flare to right field. Sinking fast. Soto with a deke. He flashed the glove. Here comes Edman racing around third. He'll score without a throw. RBI single Mookie Betts and a 3-0 lead in game three.
Mookie with 16 RBI in the playoffs. Now, remember how he started 0 for 22 or something along those lines? That is a thing of the past. So, producer Pete, because you love baseball, you know this. That Mookie Betts was not always a Dodger. He came from another organization that's got World Series in their past. So I was explaining to my husband, because he's not a huge baseball fan. He's been watching a little bit of the World Series with me. But I explained to my husband how Mookie is one of my favorite players in all of sports, that I love to watch him play baseball. He's just dynamic in pretty much everything that he does, but he's also a really good human. And then I was saying to him, the Dodgers got him because the Red Sox were dumb enough to trade him away. That was how I explained the Mookie Betts story to my husband.
Exactly.
Well, I still can't believe they let him go.
They didn't want to pay him.
Exactly. And, but he's worth it. He's worth every penny.
And so they blew it twice. So they didn't want to pay him. But then the trade they made was horrible. So they didn't get anything for him. So and that cost Chaim Bloom his job. That was, I think, that was the nail in the coffin for Chaim Bloom in Boston. But it was a double whammy on the way out for and I prefer him up in Boston in the American League as a Met fan. I don't want to keep seeing him, but he's a remarkable player.
Oh, he's a remarkable human. He's so good for the Dodgers. Won an MVP, obviously, and is a guy that they paid because they recognized what they had. So yes, that was how I described his journey to the Hubs. The Red Sox were dumb enough to trade him away. So Freddie Freeman doing his thing with all those RBIs. Along with Mookie Betts, those two guys behind Ohtani, who still just has the one hit in the World Series, however, is getting on base and is out there with a partially dislocated shoulder. So the Dodgers had plenty of offense. The defense, though, shining brightly in this World Series Game 3, because there wasn't a whole lot of traffic on the base paths for the Yankees against Walker Buehler. But Giancarlo Stanton has a double in the fourth inning, and it looks like they're going to get something going. You can feel the stadium and the energy start to change a little bit. And sure enough, Giancarlo, runner in scoring position. The Yankees want to get him home.
2-2 on Volpe. Swung on and lined to left field, and there is a base hit. Stanton around third. He's coming home. The throw is in time. Good throw by Teoscar, and they did nab him as he came home.
They definitely did. If you watch the sequence of events, the ball gets to the outfield. It gets to Teoscar Hernandez, and he's fielding it and preparing to throw it. Maybe even before Stanton gets to third base. I mean, at the very least, he's rounding the base, but he is not a great runner. I mean, sometimes just having him run is a hazard to his health because of his hammies and all that jazz. And so he was a bit of a sitting duck. And as I was driving into the office last night, I was listening to the Yankees postgame show, and one of the things they were lamenting was, why are you sending Giancarlo Stanton in that situation when he cannot run? That was essentially the synopsis. That's the call with John Sterling on the Yankees radio network. Now, they do end up getting a couple of runs in the ninth inning. They're down to two outs in the ninth, but Alex Verdugo smacks a two-run home run, or the first runner up in that inning, bottom of the ninth, had walked. And so it was a two-run home run. And now, maybe, are you a little nervous if you're a Dodgers fan?
Kopech ready, as is Torres. The 2-2 pitch. Bouncer up the middle. Edmund spins, fires in time, and that's a win for LA. They hang on to take game 3-4-2. They lead this World Series 3-0.
That's the call with Steven Nelson on Dodgers radio. And for those of you who remember, I remember 03 and 04. But for the New York Yankees, the only team that's ever come back from an 0-3 deficit in a best-of-seven playoff series, was the Red Sox in 0-4 against the New York Yankees. Though, to be fair, the Yankees had their 0-3 moment with Aaron Boone, who obviously is managing this roster now. So what do they have to do to produce some type of miracle moving forward, Boone?
Hopefully we can, you know, go be this amazing story and shock the world. But right now it's about trying to get a lead, trying to grab a game and force another one, and then on from there. But we got to grab one first.
It's not going to be easy for sure, but we got to pull some inspiration from somewhere. So it's happened before. Teams come back before, and it's going to sting tonight. But tomorrow when we show up, we'll be ready to play.
Well, that's the voice of Anthony Rizzo. So Aaron Boone had experience with those Yankees in 03 and just what they were able to do. But then in 2016, Rizzo and his Cubs were trailing, at the time, the Indians 3-1 in the World Series, which is about as close as you can get to the situation the Yankees are in right now. So game 4 comes up in the Bronx on Tuesday night. We will have a special guest and his sidekick here in studio, fresh off that World Series game. So whether the Dodgers sweep or whether the Yankees extend the series, we will have man on the scene reaction and a sidekick. That's all I'm going to say. I got to be careful. It's supposed to be a surprise, so I can't tell you what's happening. Just trust me when I say there's a sidekick. For the Yankees pitching, they walked six guys last night. Two of those guys came around to score. They only gave up five hits, but there was a lot of traffic out there in the base paths. And then the Yanks unable to produce any offense. Four runs is really not that big a deal. Four runs from the Dodgers' bats is almost something that you would expect as a baseline, but the Yankees are supposed to be able to match. Instead, they leave eight guys on base. They themselves have five hits, but only those two runs in the ninth. And Aaron Judge still has just one hit in the series, and so he's the one that a lot of people are focused on because he's not coming through in the clutch.
You want to be getting the hits, you want to be doing, you know, going out there and doing your job, but, you know, I'm not doing my job right now, so I got to pick it up.
Walker Buehler making just his second start in this postseason, right? And he hasn't won a game, or hadn't won a game, excuse me, let me correct, hadn't won a game since mid-May. Remember, he'd been dealing with all kinds of issues, arm issues, and he'd been away from the team in Florida, working with people that weren't even in the Dodgers organization to do anything he could to get back to this point. And now he's got this World Series win to his credit, or another one. So five innings pitched, couple of hits from him, a couple of walks, but five big strikeouts, and most critically, no runs allowed to the Yankees.
That feeling of there's an organization relying on me today to win a playoff game, I think is kind of the weight that I like feeling, and kind of gets me in a certain place mentally that it's kind of hard to replicate. I'm excited to watch our guys go tomorrow and see what happens. So, you know, I'll be ready if there's a game seven, but my hope is that I don't have to throw anymore.
How about that? You may have just thrown the last game of the year, thrown your last pitches of the year, if the rest of the Dodgers can do their jobs. Now, here's the deal. We think it's going to be a bullpen start for game four, which the Dodgers have done about half the time in this playoff run, which is, to me, even more incredible. They really don't have much of a rotation. They weren't sure about Walker Buehler until the NLCS, and now he's got these two solid starts. Yamamoto, he's been in and out of the rotation because of his injuries. Jack Flaherty wasn't with them until after the trade deadline, so this is a Dodgers team, a rotation, excuse me, that's held together by duct tape and string and a couple of rusty nails. But Dave Roberts is pushing all the right buttons and they're getting it done. So yeah, we'll have game four tonight from the Bronx and we'll see if the Yankees can stave off elimination. But this begs the question, would you rather have your team get there to a Super Bowl or a championship game, a championship round, and get swept, destroyed, maybe never really in it? Or would you prefer just to sit that one out? At Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. Coming up, we'll get to week eight. The Steelers, have they found the formula? Excited about it. Plus some QB news with a few updates. I can't believe we're already into hour number four here. It seems like these nights just fly by. We're glad to have you with us here after hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
Austin's got it, runs from the near side of the field to the far, breaking the tackle 30, far sideline 40, far sideline 50, flag is down, he's on the 40, got a block 30, far sideline 20, 10, chase to the 5, touchdown on a punt return for the Pittsburgh Steelers! 74-yard return to take the lead late in the third over the Giants. Five-man rush, shotgun snap, arching spiral pass near side, over the shoulder catch, goal line, touchdown. It's Calvin Austin with his second touchdown tonight. Perfect pass by Russell Wilson. 29-yard arching spiral. And the Steelers build on their lead early in the fourth.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Calvin Austin having the type of game that Khalif Raymond had for the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Man, critical for the Steelers as well. As you hear with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, the score was tied at 9 between the Steelers and the Giants when Austin ripped off his punt return that went 73 yards. And then In the fourth quarter, he comes up with his second ever catch as a receiver from Russell Wilson, perfectly placed. Fourth quarter makes it 23-9, and the Steelers needed all of that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Snap back to Jones, looking, and has the ball batted away and recovered by T.J. Watt. Strip sack, recovery, Steelers ball. Tremendous turn of events late in the fourth quarter at Acrisure Stadium.
He's what Coach Tomlin calls an A player. You know, and A players are built for those moments. And I knew that play. I saw they had the tight end over with me, and I saw him one-on-one on the island with that guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's about to make a play. And he did, and he got the ball. So that's just what he does. That's why he's the best in the world. And so it's just, you know, an honor every single week to go to war with him and just the rest of this team.
The voice of Alex Highsmith, who actually told Missy Matthews, our guest earlier on the show, she's a Steelers sideline reporter, Alex told her he thought he was going to get to the fumble. He knew that T.J. Watt would come through with the strip and the fumble because that's just how he is, and he could tell by the way he was playing it, playing the snap, but he thought he might get to the ball first. Instead, T.J. Watt has two sacks, two other QB hits, the forced fumble, and the fumble recovery. And for that reason, he is our Defensive Player of the Week. Though Alex Highsmith deserves to be part of that conversation as well. Quite the tandem with two sacks of his own, a bunch of pressures, and six official QB hits. Daniel Jones turns the ball over twice in those fourth quarter possessions back to back. Not only does he have the fumble, but also then throws an interception. Beanie Bishop, by the way, on the scene again for the Steelers. So here they are at 6-2, sitting atop the AFC North as they head into their bye week. And yeah, Tomlin, all about T.J. Watt as well.
I'm not surprised by it, but it doesn't mean that it's not appreciated. I just come to expect it because he's got a unique talent. He's got a unique approach. And so usually that produces unique results with a really consistent tone to it and usually at the most timely moments. And so, you know, I think the new Steelers are shaking their heads. I think the guys that have been here kind of expect it.
The Pittsburgh Steelers may be exceeding expectations that were placed on them at the start of the season. I guess it depends on your perspective, but I do recall a bunch of national analysts and insiders, experts, I don't even know what that word means, but people who work in this business really getting hesitant and nervous about the quarterback situation, about Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields, and each of them coming out of tough situations, though Russ was better in Denver toward the end of last season before he got benched by the Denver Broncos. And I asked Missy, Pete, I don't know if you want to bring back that first answer. If you can get it, great. If not, don't worry about it. Or I guess not the first answer. It was the third answer, wasn't it? When I asked her about the change and whether or not it was unpopular. I mean, that, again, is a personal opinion. But why make the change? Why was Mike Tomlin so sure that Russell Wilson was a better option for the job? Not that he's a better quarterback, a better person, any of those things. But Justin did say that he hadn't played as well as he should have. And for that reason, he left the door wide open for Tomlin to make a change. But Tomlin, he's also told us that he kind of went out on a limb himself in this particular situation because most of the people in the room were kind of waffling or at the very least weren't sure that it was the right time to go to Russ because he was just healthy. Remember, he was QB2 for the game before that, but he was looking for a spark. And so I asked Missy about that. Now, before we get to that, Pete, you can give me a thumbs up or not, but I appreciate you on the fly. Yeah, so he's working on that. But I don't know if you guys saw the moment where Russ threw the touchdown pass late, and it was almost as though Mike Tomlin recognized that he needed to acknowledge the criticism, but with his own sly way, because he found a camera and he flashed the thumbs up to the camera. Now, I don't know if he was flashing the thumbs up to Russell Wilson or to someone else that was out there on the field, but the way he looked directly into the camera was terrific. As if to say, I heard you. I know you didn't believe this was the right move. I know that you wondered what the heck was wrong with me, and maybe some of you were even, again, calling for my job. But as Russ is completing throws to George Pickens and to Calvin Austin, and actually to a host of different Steelers options, if you look at the number of passes he was able to complete, he spread the ball out. Pickens had four. Van Jefferson had four, including one that kind of dropped in over his head. He was upside down on the sidelines. Ball placed perfectly. Austin had three. Darnell Washington with one. Pat Freiermuth with two. Najee Harris had three. Jaylen Warren, two. Mykole Pruitt had one. I mean, that's a lot of different options. And the Steelers were able to run for 167 yards. And so the change to Russell Wilson, I know the beginning of the Jets game was rough, but it's certainly producing dividends, not just with the passing game, because he was 20 of 28, and he was accurate, and he had a passing touchdown. But because the points are up, right, and also because the rest of the offense is operating well, though they did still go 0-for in the red zone. But thank you, Pete, for grabbing this. Asked sideline reporter Missy Matthews in Pittsburgh after the game, why the change? Even if it was unpopular, why did Mike Tomlin feel like he had to go to Russell Wilson?
I think he covets the been there, done that guy, the veteran, the guy who has seen as much as humanly possible in this game. And clearly experience does that. Playoff wins does that. Going to Super Bowls and winning one does that. And I think that is the reason why when they completely overhauled their quarterback room this offseason, kept nobody, whether it was by choice or not, they went after Russell Wilson first. And I think when things didn't go well with Kenny Pickett, their decision was still to try to trade for Justin Fields. So Russ was always the guy. I think it just became an issue, obviously, on the eve of training camp when he hurts his calf and isn't able to do a lot.
How is Justin handling the change?
I think he's doing great. They both are those like selfless, tireless workers who have been supportive of each other from the jump. This is even going back to like OTAs and mini camp, and you can say, yeah, it's football and shorts. But I still think that that's where you're building cultures. I'm out in a parking lot right now, so some coworkers are driving by. That's what that noise was. But, you know, for Justin, it clearly was not something that he wanted to happen, but the self-reflection of him saying, like, hey, I did not play well enough, and if I did, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So he kind of took that to heart, but I think he's a guy all of the offensive staff really grew to like and love working with. And, you know, I don't think this is the end for Justin Fields by any means in terms of his young football career. It's just Russ is continuing the winning streak and, as I said, brings something just a little bit different other than, you know, the fact Justin's legs and how he was able to get Steelers offense out of a lot of jams when he was the starter. I mean, that was huge.
So Pittsburgh is 6-2 and has won three games in a row. So even predating Russ taking over the offense, but if you've seen the numbers, the yards are up, the passing yards are up, the plays that go 10-plus yards are up. In fact, they're first in the NFL in the last 2 weeks. The points are up. So that's the difference. The experience is what Mike Tomlin wanted, and the experience is what he's now getting. And Russ does look healthy. We'll hear from him coming up, as well as Daniel Jones, who looks the complete opposite, frustrated, upset, ready to maybe belong to a different franchise, though I'm not sure there'd be many options right now. So a QB news version following week 8. What? And in the meantime, I'm seeing all of your answers, your responses at Amy After Hours and then on our Facebook page. Would you rather your team make a Super Bowl or a championship series and get destroyed than never to be in the arena? I know. Sometimes the options are not appealing. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
10 a.m. This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Well, the Dodgers looking to move a little closer to their second World Series championship in the last 5 years.
The 2-2 pitch. Bouncer up the middle. Edmonds spins, fires, in time! And that's a win for L.A. They hang on to take game 3, 4-2. They lead this World Series 3-0.
Call courtesy of the Dodgers Radio Network, Freddie Freeman, a 2-run shot. He's homered in all 3 games thus far. Mookie Betts, Kike Hernandez each knocked in a run, while Walker Buehler was brilliant. 5 scoreless innings, allowed just 2 hits. Bombers mustered just 5 hits all night as LA will go for the sweep on Tuesday night. Monday Night Football, the Steelers able to separate in the second half.
5-man rush, shotgun snap, arching spiral pass near side, over the shoulder catch, goal line, touchdown! It's Calvin Austin with his second touchdown tonight! Perfect pass by Russell Wilson, 29-yard arching spiral, and the Steelers build on their lead early in the fourth.
Calvin Austin, a 29-yard touchdown catch to go along with his 73-yard punt return for a score as the Steelers withstood the Giants 26-18. Kevin Harlan to call Westwood one. Russell Wilson threw for 278 in that score. Najee Harris, a buck 14 on the ground. Steelers now 6-2. Good news for Jordan Love and the Packers. His groin injury not expected to have him sidelined long-term. He's hopeful to go Sunday against the Lions. NBA, Kevin Durant 30 as the Suns took out the Lakers 109-105. Kings rocked the Blazers 111-98. Celtics erased the Bucks 119-108. Nuggets got 40 points and 10 rebounds from Nikola Jokic. Outlasted the Raptors in overtime 127-125. Heat too much for the Pistons 106-98. Cavs bounced the Knicks 110-104. Magic handled the Pacers 119-115 as Paolo Banchero poured in 50 with 13 rebounds and 9 assists. Mavericks got by the Jazz 110-102. Utah also lost Taylor Hendricks for the year, fractured leg and dislocated ankle. Rockets handled the Spurs 106-101. Bulls topped the Grizzlies 126-123. And the Wizards upend the Hawks 121-119. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Check out our new and improved website at InfinitySportsNet.com. That's InfinitySportsNet.com.
Mahomes gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City!
3 steps, throwing, Love, left corner of the end zone, touchdown!
Play action, Love, looking, winds up, there rainbows, is. Watson there, touchdown!
Yes!
And a Lambeau leap!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. I dare say that Mike Tomlin is happy with what he's seen since the change at quarterback because his offense is producing in every metric. Russell Wilson, 20 of 28, 278 yards and a touchdown. Though he did get sacked 4 times. And I suppose I should qualify by saying the Steelers were 0-for in the red zone. They kept settling for field goals instead of touchdowns. But what did Mike Tomlin see?
He didn't need to warm up to it, you know, a little less rust than the week before. But I'm not surprised by his capabilities.
We got a surge ahead of us that we got to go get. And there's a lot of great games ahead of us. And we're not going to shy away from them. So we got to make sure that we're ready to go. But it's important that, you know, we've been going since training camp and all that. The guys get their mind reset, figure out what we can do better.
If you're a Steelers fan or a fan of the AFC North, definitely check out my conversation with sideline reporter and host Missy Matthews from Pittsburgh after this game. She pointed out something I didn't realize because I can't memorize schedules for every team. They've not played a game in the AFC North yet. How about that? When they come off their bye, they are on the road at the Commanders, who are a division leader. Then they go Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Browns. Then a game against the Eagles before they go Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals to wrap up the season. All of their divisional games come in the second half. That's a backloaded schedule. So the Steelers are going to have to fight to stay on.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Top in the North Division. As for the Giants, there's no talk of being number one. There's more talk about what needs to change. A lot of people pointing to Daniel Jones and saying this is absolutely it for him, especially the way he performs at home. A couple of turnovers in the fourth quarter again.
We hurt ourselves a lot tonight. And that's the most frustrating part about it. So we've got to be more detailed, starting with me. And, you know, some of the good stuff that happened, you know, was negated by, you know, those mistakes. Nobody really cares that we're frustrated. It's, you know, what are we going to do from here and how are we going to fix the issues? So certainly look at myself first, see where I can do that.
Brian Daboll, he almost spontaneously combusted on the sideline. So that guy is back. But the owners indicate that they're sticking with his coaching staff. However, they've got to get a different quarterback. He's lost confidence. The team doesn't have confidence in him. All those things are true. Let's talk about a couple of the QB injuries that were sustained in Sunday's Week 8 games. Matt LaFleur lost his quarterback again, Jordan Love, to a groin injury. Now, it's not expected to be serious. He's listed as day-to-day, though Malik Willis was able to come in and look terrific. He's clearly blossomed in that Green Bay Packers system. Matt LaFleur was asked about the week and how it might play out for Love as they get ready for a game against Detroit.
If he can go, he'll go. So we'll see where he's at by the end of the week. And but if we feel like he can't protect himself, then we certainly wouldn't put him in that position.
I just talked about how Willis is blossoming, but you do not want Malik Willis on the field. If you're the Packers against the Lions, you need all hands on deck. You need your best people against the Lions because they are flying high right now and are one of the best teams in the NFL. And if you want to challenge them atop the NFC North standings, well, this is your first big opportunity. As for the New England Patriots, they're also not challenging atop a division anywhere. However, they are keeping close eyes on Drake May. Now, I had heard and read that putting him in concussion protocol and checking him was more about being cautious. He is a guy who can run and likes to run, but he's got to learn to protect himself, which is an age-old tale for most rookie quarterbacks. You just hope they don't get smashed and get a concussion while they're learning how to protect themselves and not take unnecessary risks. You'd think Tua would be a cautionary tale. But anyway, Gerard Mayo actually didn't realize that Drake needed to be checked out on Sunday.
I was surprised when Waylon told me he had to go to the medical tent because he threw a couple of good balls afterwards, and I thought he was still pretty sharp in those regards. But, you know, obviously it's above my pay grade as far as like pulling him out of the game and putting him in the protocol.
Doesn't sound like it's serious, the reports coming out of New England. However, head injuries needed to be treated with serious caution, all of that, so that you're not, again, putting a quarterback, whether he's an old dude or whether he's a rookie, out there until he's completely ready to go and can process and protect himself. But Gerard Mayo, maybe on our hump show, we'll get to his response. The Patriots, he was calling them soft last week, and they come out with a big win over the Jets, and they show themselves proud. And so what did he think of them? So he's always a guest on our Boston affiliate, our New England affiliate, WEEI. So it's good to catch some of his comments following a game day. One more. Now, you can make of this what you will. I just know it sounds very up in the air for the Colts and their quarterback, Anthony Richardson, who's still figuring out the NFL because he's played so few games. You want to talk about learning how to protect yourself. That's another one. He takes far too many hits, even if he's a big guy. They do have Joe Flacco. So, Shane Steichen.
Is he starting Sunday?
We are evaluating everything.
Uh-huh. Everything is open to discussion. He'll take suggestions from the peanut gallery. Okay, maybe not, but everything is open for evaluation.
Everything.
Everything. I mean, all of it.
Everything.
even the way that we march out in the pregame. All
everything.
Of it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We appreciate the fact that you are as obsessed with quarterbacks as we are, because it makes for a fun QB news generally. 855-212-4227. Lots of you weighing in response to our show question, which we may have to continue forward because I get so many answers during the day after I post a show question. People hear the podcast, they see it on social, and they answer, and then I don't have a chance to share those. But this is such an emotional question, one in which fans are tied, both mind and heart. Would you want to play in a Super Bowl or a championship series, even if your favorite team ends up getting destroyed? And the Yankees are the catalyst, or the muse for this particular question. So looking through some of your responses, this one comes from Buffalo. Absolutely. I was only 6 when the Bills lost their 4th consecutive trip to the Super Bowl. I don't remember much. Then we had that 17-year playoff drought that ended in 17, and that was pretty much my Super Bowl. I don't care if we get demolished. I'm used to pain. We're sharing a lot of these from our show account at Amy After Hours. You want to check them out there. Kip says, yes, enjoy the ride. The Bears in 85, but we lost in 06. Cubs win in 16. Aces in 22 and 23. So I guess now he's an Aces fan. Well, that's okay. Knights in 23. So he's got a whole long list of teams. Last couple from Vegas. He says, who's next? I love to win, but you got there. Better to be loved. You are so right. And then Marty says, sure, I'd love to be there, but the Brownies will never get there with current ownership. Oh, dear. That kind of indicates how some fans in Cleveland are feeling. There was a couple more that I wanted to share. JD says, hey, Amy, I was in queue to talk to you, but I had to go into work. As a Yankees fan and a Niners fan, I love my teams making it, although the toll it takes when we lose, especially the way the Niners have the last 3 times, is unbearable for months. Yeah, the last 2 against the Chiefs, they've had a 10-point lead in each of those. And going back to, was it 19 when the Chiefs won their first one in this run? Was 19? Going back to 19, they had a 10-point lead in the 4th quarter. And Patrick Mahomes, that was really when his incredible legend took a major step up. Let's see, River. As a Texas Tech fan, I've always wanted to see Tech in either the college football playoffs or the March Madness finals. I got to see them make it in 19, and it hurt when they lost, but it was amazing knowing my team was good enough to make it there. Yeah, see, I like that. And you feel like you have your whole life ahead of you. And okay, at some point, my team's going to get back, right? It's going to get back. What is the After Hours TD of the week? I'm thinking you better vote. I'm not going to tell you what the options are. You go check it out. That's a good tease to get you to our poll at Amy After Hours. And I do appreciate that you all are as excited about the NFL season as we are. It'll be a lot easier to navigate when baseball is done, but I'll still fingers crossed for a 7-game series, just so we have a little more drama.
By the way, 2019 season, 2020 Super Bowl.
Right. So that's how I go. I do what the NFL does. They go by season because it's confusing when you get to a Super Bowl that's in the next year, but it's not the way you've referred to the entire season. Hey, speaking of the Hail Mary, as we were, and TD of the week, that is one of the options. I love this perspective from Austin Eckler. So he was a guest on Sirius XM NFL Radio, first year with the Commanders, and he was talking about the fallout after Noah Brown caught that ball from Jaden.
That's probably the most vivid moment that I can remember, is just the eruption and the flooding of the sideline onto the field going crazy. And then just really hearing just like an awe throughout the entire stadium of people just going nuts. And people rutted everywhere. People hugging everywhere. And it was just a total moment of the entire stadium becoming one, celebrating one moment, one victory all together at the same time. So something I'll never forget.
I love that. Austin Eckler from Sirius XM NFL Radio. When grown men become kids and Dan Quinn starts running all over looking for someone to hug. It's tremendous. It's why we love football, right? Now, if I had been smart, I would have waited until that moment played out, those final 20 seconds played out, or really in that case, it was the last snap in 13 seconds for the Hail Mary, before I tweeted about Chicago and their gritty comeback. But I got to tell you something, producer Pete, I'm learning this firsthand. Now, this is Twix specifically, but I know it happens on all social media. You can post the most brilliant, astute, intelligent, even humorous, amusing, entertaining observation. It can be the best words that have ever come out of your mouth. Organized perfectly, spelled correctly, great grammar, all of that jazz. You'll get a few, hey, thumbs up, let's go. You dare post something that is incorrect or that is premature in my case, you better watch out. Do you know, and I'll just be honest, nothing that I've ever posted on Twix has ever had this many views until my faux pas, I didn't listen to the voice in my head, when I posted about Chicago's terrific and gritty road win against the Commanders. And I didn't take it down because I was busy watching, and then it came, by the time I went to the tweet, it had already gotten so many humorous replies that I just left it up there. Do you know how many times it's been viewed?
A lot.
Approaching 100,000 times. I've gone viral for all the wrong reasons. And yes, the replies are hilarious. But here's the thing. I refuse to take it down because it's just a reminder of, I don't know. It's just a reminder that you don't always have to be perfect. Also, if it entertains you and amuses you, it's worth it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.